So I want to do is focus on some techniques and tips and tricks that you can use to help build your resiliency, build your grit, and just acknowledge some of the difficulties that we have gone through this year. So before I begin, I do want to make a disclaimer that if you are suffering from serious mental health conditions, depression or anxiety, or having thoughts of hurting yourself, hurting others, or have a plan to do so, please speak to your healthcare provider or reach out to local crisis response center. The RHA has a mobile crisis service that's available. Their phone number is listed, and they also have a website. So if those difficulties are arising, know that you're not alone and that we are here to help you out. And so as you all know, 2020 has been quite an eventful year. We've gone through, and we're currently going through, a pandemic. The last pandemic was in 1918. That was devastating. That was H1N1. And now we're going through COVID. And I'll talk a little bit about it, not too much, just that it's changed everybody's life in so many different ways. People have lost loved ones, and it's an ongoing issue and currently still rising exponentially, and just acknowledging what is going on there is so important. We've dealt with racial injustices, economic distress, heightened mental health disorders. More and more people are coming to see their doctors about anxiety, depression, lack of sleep. It is certainly something where people are feeling uprooted and ungrounded, and acknowledging that is very important. We've gone through a pretty tumultuous election. People are feeling socially isolated, and people that are spending more time with their family members may have difficult family dynamics. And then the question about nutrition comes in. What should we eat? What should we not eat? Natural disasters that are affecting this country and this world, and whether or not we should travel for the holidays. All very good questions, and all that we have to do some internal reflection on as well. And certainly everybody has different opinions about it. So in regards to the pandemic, unfortunately, we are at over 300,000 cases of patients who've passed away from this disease, and 16.6 million people who are affected by it since the start of this. And as you can see from the curve, the cases are rising exponentially, and we have to recognize that we're in it for the long haul, and that people are having isolation fatigue. Really, if I could give one piece of advice, is to limit holiday gatherings if at all possible. I know it certainly brings in a different dynamic to what our holidays would look like this year. And as my mindfulness teacher says, we have to use beginner's mind to go through this holiday season, because it is going to be different. And it can be a unique opportunity to create something different and perhaps start a new tradition. And I think it's all in the perspective that we use to figure out how we're going to deal with the next few weeks. If you are spending time with people, please practice frequent hand hygiene, 6 feet social distancing, and if at all possible, sitting outside for dinner. And if not, if it's possible for you, creating creative ways to spend time with your family, whether it's through virtual holiday parties, dance parties, sharing recipes. I know some people are going out and creating gift packs or lunch containers for their loved ones out in the community. And so that may be another option for you to consider. The nice thing is, if you're having a small gathering, you don't have to cook for a lot of people. And so maybe that's okay. And maybe there's a pleasure in that. And so let's start with our first practice, just taking a moment to ground down into the earth, wherever you're seating, noticing the sit bones on the earth, perhaps closing your eyes for a moment. And we're going to take a moment to bring up any memories that show up for this year. Whatever thoughts or memories show up, acknowledging it, letting it come through. always knowing that you can connect with your breath, the inhalation and exhalation. Notice what thoughts or sensations or emotions that show up in this moment with whatever memory that you're working through. And taking a moment to acknowledge and honor whatever is showing up for you. If tears show up, let them. If a heartache shows up, let it show up. I'm going to share a poem as you continue to reflect. This is called The Guest House by Rumi. This human being is a guest house, every moment a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if there are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house, empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, because ease has been sent as a guide from beyond. Be grateful for whatever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. When ready, you can open your eyes or you can keep them shut, whatever is comfortable for you. My next reflective piece that I'm going to encourage us to do is by Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen. She's an integrative medicine physician who started a course for medical students called Healer's Art. It's a 5-session course that truly focuses on the difficulties and vulnerabilities that it takes to be in medicine. I had the opportunity to co-facilitate this course for the past 2 years, and one of the things that medical students would bring up frequently is that this was one space where they could express their vulnerability. And it's shocking, right? Because we are in this field where we're constantly affected by difficulties and sorrows and all these challenging emotions and all of the challenging experiences, and yet as physicians, we're expected to remain strong in all of those interfaces and not express our difficulties that we may be going through. So one of the exercises it teaches could be a journal entry on a daily basis. I'm going to have you reflect on this for this past year. So if you have a pen or paper and pencil available conveniently, great. Otherwise, you can do this exercise internally. But one of the first questions that I'd like for you to reflect is, during this year, what surprised me? So what surprised you? What moved or touched my heart? What moved or touched your heart during this year? And what inspired me? What inspired you during this year? Personally, for me, what surprised me is that you never know what will happen. This pandemic, I think for a lot of us who are planners, took us by surprise. Certainly everything that I had planned for the year went by the wayside. And at this point, I have no plans for 2021 because we don't know what that's going to look like. And what a beautiful gift, in a sense, that that provided for me, because it challenged my belief system that I had about myself and about the world. What moved or touched my heart is how many people stood up to all the racial injustices that happened this past year, and that there is still so much work that our society has to do. And what it's inspired me is I felt called to do heart-centered work since this pandemic started, and I continue to do that because that is an area that I need to work on. And so I hope that this exercise provides an opportunity for you to just continue to unravel day by day those things that are inspiring, that touch our hearts, and that surprise us so that we can constantly continue to grow. And it's by this state of reflection that we can continue to improve ourselves and not remain stagnant. And so taking a moment to have a gratitude practice. Gratitude is another way that we can acknowledge the positive things in our lives, the things that are going well, even amidst chaos, we can find calmness. So again, if you have a pen and paper or a device that you can write on, list two people that you're grateful for. You may have more, you may have one. If you have none, just be grateful for yourself. Listing two events or experiences this past year that you're grateful for. My sister had a baby. Very grateful for my nephew. My other sister got married. Very grateful for that. Two things that you're grateful for. And yes, it's okay to be grateful for material things. Any pets that you're grateful for? And then take a moment to write down, I am grateful for myself and for the journey that I'm on. We oftentimes tend to be our own harshest critics, and yet just recognizing that we, each of us, have a unique life that we're living, unique experiences that we're going through. And so why not honor ourselves and honor the experiences that we've had? This allows us to grow even more and expand our awareness to our best potential self. And so then we talk about nutrition. Now, holidays are time for tons of desserts and tons of food, and some people tend to gain weight during the holidays. And so if you have specific goals for yourself that you're working through, practice mindfulness with each of the meals that you're enjoying with your family members. It is also worth having a discussion with your family as far as goals that you may have. So if you're avoiding alcohol, having that discussion whether there will be alcohol at the table or not, or if they'll hold you accountable, whether you're planning to do an elimination diet, finding out if right now would be the best time to do that, or if it's worth waiting till after the holidays. And I want to say that, and I'll give permission, that it's okay to splurge and eat, enjoy it while you do. None of this guilt that we have. And if you do have guilt, remember welcoming it, because it's there for a reason. It's probably trying to teach you something. I will say, when the pandemic first started, I was like, oh my goodness, we're in a pandemic. I'm going to eat whatever I want. And yes, that's great. And I've done that over and over again this past year. And for me, the recognition is that I eat when I'm stressed. I eat a lot of junk food when I'm stressed. So recognizing that and being aware of that and finding ways to energetically ground and root has helped me to get back to eating more fruits and vegetables and eating the type of diet that I find nourishing, and recognizing that it is an expression of self-love when we eat nourishing food. So I made the salad last week and it was delicious. So let's do a breathing exercise. We'll go through a couple breathing exercises. I'll lead you through a little bit of yoga, and then we'll end with a meditation and some tapping work in between. So the 4-7-8 breath is one of the first energetic breath work techniques that I learned while I was in Tucson, Arizona. And just a quick 30-second backstory. I was in clinic with my first patient as a new doctor, and this patient came in for insomnia, so I was having difficulty sleeping. And as a new doctor, my first instinct is, let's start medication. And my very seasoned, wonderful attending, who had been in practice for 30 years, like, let's do this breathing technique. And it was just such a beautiful introduction for me to be in a family medicine program in Tucson, Arizona, where integrative medicine has such a strong presence. And so this breathing technique is wonderful to activate a relaxation response. Dr. Andrew Weil talks about doing 4 rounds twice a day, and then after a month, increasing it to 8 rounds twice a day. It's quick. It's a nice, quick breath work technique that gets us into that relaxation response within a few minutes. So people who don't have time necessarily to meditate, this might be just a great way to get in and to that relaxation response. One of the caveats that I will give with this breathing technique is, as a yoga teacher and as somebody who has had training in trauma-informed yoga teacher training, one of the things that we learned, just slightly surprising to me, is that people who have gone through physical, mental, emotional, or sexual trauma may have difficulty with these very rigid breath counting breathing techniques. So that being said, if you have had an experience like that, or if you notice that when you do this technique that you feel lightheaded or dizzy, or it makes you feel more anxious, then this is probably not a technique for you. And some people will, in the beginning, feel anxious as they're navigating it. So finding a balance between, is it just I'm new to this and my body is resetting itself into a more parasympathetic, relaxed response, or is this something that is going to bring up past traumas and maybe this is not the place? Again, it's all dependent on each of you to figure out what's right for your body. And for those of you who've had trauma experiences and breath work is challenging, start with a basic breath technique of just focusing on the inhalation and exhalation and noticing the expansion of the belly and contraction of the belly. So just simple diaphragmatic breathing. For those of you that would like to try this, I will count you through it. Remember that my counting might be different than what your counting looks like. So if I'm counting too fast or too slow for you, use your own barometer and your own counting in your mind's eye or mind's voice. So just exhale completely. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Inhale, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And just breathing normally, noticing how your body feels in this moment. Noticing any thoughts that may be present, physical sensations. And just notice how relaxed your body feels right now. And if it doesn't feel relaxed, just acknowledging that too. Sometimes when we're at a deepened state of anxiety, heightened sympathetic response. It takes our bodies a little bit of time to get to that neutral space before it dives even deeper into that relaxed state. And in those moments, just showing yourself compassion. Our next exercise that we'll do is called alternate nostril breathing, Nadi Shodhana breath. It is a great exercise to connect both hemispheres of the brain. It helps improve focus, great for the respiratory system, and of course, another exercise that invokes the relaxation response. So go ahead and take your index finger and your middle finger, place it on your forehead just between your eyebrows. Close the left nostril with your pinky finger and your ring finger. Inhale through the right. Close off the right, exhale through the left. Inhale through the left. Close the left. Release the right, exhale through the right. Inhale through the right. Close the right, release the left, exhale through the left. Inhale through the left. Exhale through the right. Inhale through the right. Release the left. Exhale through the left. A couple more. Inhale through the left. Close the left. Exhale through the right. Inhale through the right, feeling the expansion of the lungs. Exhale through the left. And releasing your hand, palms facing up, keeping your eyes closed. Just noticing the depth of your breath. Noticing what sensations are present, what thoughts are present. Feeling into your body. And you can always do multiple rounds of this, just a couple more times. Well, we won't do it today, but when you're practicing this, on your great exercise to practice before meditation, do a few rounds, 6 times on each side. All right. So the next exercise that we'll do, a little bit more energetic, so you're probably very relaxed now, and so you may just want to listen to this. If you'd like to try this, and you don't have a partner with you, you can use a wooden spoon, or I have what's called a bonger ball. And we're basically going to tap our backs. So I've done this exercise in a group of people where we'll go in a circle and just tap each other's back for about a couple minutes. This exercise is great for opening up the heart and opening up what's called the assemblage point. So people that have anxiety will have that point that's higher up on our bodies. And then people that have depression will have points that are lower down. So even just tapping in the back of the heart can be helpful to align our energetic state. One of the things that I think is important to acknowledge with this exercise, when I've done it on people who have not been receptive to it, you go up to somebody's back and tap it. It's interesting. So people who are maybe depressed may have a difficulty time with this exercise. So it may just be that you tap them very gently, and then other people want like the full gamut of the intense tapping. And so you just tap right at the center. Let me see. Do this a few times. Again, works just fine with a wooden spoon. And this is a great exercise to do before a heart-centered meditation or a loving-kindness meditation, or even before yoga if you're focusing on heart openers. And one of the things, at least that my teacher has told me when doing this exercise, is before doing this exercise, you can feel your chest for any tender points and see if you notice any tender points, and then tap for a couple minutes and then notice if you still feel those tender points. And if not, keep tapping. Some shamanic teachers will talk about doing this on a daily basis to keep the heart open. We're constantly inundated with so much different types of energy. And again, with the chaos that's going on in the world, we need to constantly keep our heart open. And this can be just one exercise that you do to help open up the heart. So something to try, but I love this exercise, and I love when my husband does this on me, or really I will find anybody to just tap up the back of my heart when I'm feeling energetically too high up or feeling anxious. And yoga. So yoga is a wonderful practice for those of you that resonate with it, as a way to get into our bodies, to really move ourselves energetically. Whether it's yoga, Tai Chi, or other movement-based practices, allowing ourselves and our bodies to move in a way that opens us up it's just wonderful. There's actually tons of studies that show that yoga helps with anxiety and depression. And oftentimes will be recommended in addition to mindfulness-based stress reduction type practices in terms of managing some of these emotional states, even before medications for some people, and people tend to do really well with it. If you're at home with your family members, maybe doing a yoga practice with them. Now, as a yoga teacher, and as a physician, I don't know if I can recommend people going to studios to practice yoga with what's going on with the pandemic. But one thing I will say is that if you do want to support your local studios, there are studios that are doing virtual classes. So that's one way to support studios. I know yoga studios are one of the places that are struggling because of this pandemic, and a few of them are closing down because of it. So whether it's that or getting gift cards, I think certainly supporting our local community is important. Now, as far as practices, there are tons that are available virtually. And whether or not you are able to support a studio or not, there are classes, whether it's through YouTube or other avenues and platforms, that are free and available. So let's do a little bit of yoga, and I do want to be cognizant of the time so that we don't go over. We have plenty of time. So just inhaling, reaching your arms up overhead. As the hands come to the top, palms touch, connect at the top, reach up 1 inch higher. And exhale, hands through heart center. Inhale, arms reach up overhead. Palms touch, find that connection. Inhale, reach up higher. And then exhale, hands through heart center. One more time, inhale, arms reach up overhead. Gaze towards the heavens, palms connect at the top. Exhale, hands through center. Release. Bring your left hand to your right thigh, right hand behind you, finding a gentle twist to the side. As you inhale, lengthening your spine up. As you exhale, twisting. Let your neck and your cervical spine be the last thing to turn. Just wringing out anything that's not serving you in this moment. Inhale back to center. Exhale, opposite side. Right hand, left thigh, left hand behind you. Inhaling, lengthening. that's the only twisted. Self-trust, letting go of anything that's not served you this past year. Inhale back to center. Palms on your thighs. Gaze towards the sky, shoulder blades together. As you inhale and exhale, navel to spine, curl your chin into your chest. Doing some seated cat and calf. Inhale and gazing towards the heavens. Chest lifts up and then exhaling twice. Navel to spine, chin to chest. A couple more times with your own breath. Inhaling, lifting. And exhale, curl into spine. One more lift. Exhale, navel to spine, chin to chest. Inhale, back to neutral. And bring your right ear to your right shoulder. You can walk your left hand a couple inches away from you. Just feeling a gentle stretch in your neck. A lot of times people hold tension in their neck and shoulders. So even gentle stretches can be helpful to release some of that tension. All comes to finding mindfulness. And inhale back to center. Exhale, left ear to left shoulder, right hand walks out. Just connecting with your breath here. Once again, releasing anything that's not serving you. And inhale back to center. I'm going to teach a couple of heart opener exercises that are just great to open up the heart. I think between that and doing poses that are grounding is something personally that I've been working on that I find to be really helpful during some of the challenging times that we're going through. Cobra is a great pose to do. And let's see if I can demonstrate. I think if you want to really keep it simple, doing something like Sphinx can be helpful, where you come on to your belly and bring your elbows out in front of you. So elbows right underneath shoulders, hands in front, index fingers parallel to one another. And as you lift up, bringing your forearms towards your body. Engaging your core as you do this. And then curl your toes under, press your hands, and lift your elbows coming into downward facing dog, if that's available for you right now. And one foot, then the other, really practicing immense mindfulness and just being in tune with what your body is showing you right now. And coming back towards the ground, plank, lowering down, and bringing your hands by your chest, lifting up into cobra. And curling your toes under, lifting back into downward facing dog. Then bringing your knees to the ground, coming through child's pose, if that's available to you. And coming into camel pose, another very gentle heart opener. You come to your knees. Just remove this for a second. Lifting up, curl your toes, and you're coming onto your knees. Bringing your hands to your back. Then just curl them gently, gaze towards the sky, shoulder blades together. Again, this can be more advanced. We think sometimes we just need to look at things from a beginner's eye and start with gentle movement. And seeing where it takes you. Even allowing yourself to create a practice that is all based on what you're intuitively guided by, right? And so it may be that you do a few poses that help you out, and that's it. And that's all that your body can handle in this moment. And so just listening to what your body needs so that you can deepen that state of relaxation. Toe tapping. This is another wonderful exercise that's great to help alleviate anxiety, actually great for restless leg syndrome and to help with lymphatic flow. For people that suffer from insomnia, great to do before you go to bed. And of course, it's another exercise that relaxes the mind. So I typically do this exercise before I'm meditating, or if I'm noticing that my energy is really high up and I need to ground myself. Typically, I'll do this with some sort of drumming music. So I'll just find something on Spotify and listen and tap my toes. One of the contraindications to this movement is pregnancy. The points where you tap the toes, there is a, this is more from traditional Chinese medicine, and I won't go too much into it as I'm not entirely familiar with it, but it has a theoretical risk of having miscarriage. So I advise pregnant women not to do it. And those with a severe neuropathy, partially because people who have nerve damage in their feet, whether it's due to diabetes or other conditions, have, if you're not able to feel it and you form an ulcer, it can get infected, and that can be problematic, of course. So typically with this exercise, we'll do this for a couple minutes. You bring your feet on the ground, you could do this lying down, and really what you're doing is tapping your toes together. The movement is coming from the hips. Some people are very flexible and they're able to bring the backs of the outsides of the feet to touch the ground. Can't do that, and that's okay. And so you just do this for 5 to 10 minutes. We'll do this for a couple minutes, because this is really relaxing and great. Remembering that the movement is not coming from the ankle, but the hip, and that if likely what will happen is if you're doing this for the first few times, that your body, while it's getting used to it, the legs will feel sore. And so that's okay. Just being patient with it, starting up slow, and of course, listening to your body if it becomes very uncomfortable. What I love about this exercise is as I practice this, I notice that sense of groundedness in my feet that is able to just radiate through my body. And so when I do sit for a meditation afterwards, or I'm lying down in Shavasana afterwards, it feels profoundly relaxing. Just resting your feet, noticing the sensations in the bottom of the feet. Noticing the sensation in the rest of the body. Noticing the thoughts that may be present, and the sensations in the body, and any emotions that are present. Just checking in with yourself. And so if you're lying down, continue to stay lying down. We'll be doing a brief body scan, another wonderful exercise to get us into that deep state of relaxation. I actually do this during my lunch break for about 20 minutes to reboot myself before the afternoon. And this is a practice that's taught through mindfulness-based stress reduction courses, and it's a really great way to get in tune with our bodies. So typically, the scan starts at the foot and goes all the way to the head. It can range anywhere from 20 minutes to 45 minutes. And it's really about noticing the sensations or the lack of sensation that is present in each of the body parts. Some people don't feel anything, and that's okay. It's not about willing ourselves to feel a certain way. It's about just noticing. And oftentimes we'll also notice that certain thoughts are related with certain body parts. And if you've read the book called Body Keeps the Score, it's a great way of learning about how trauma can be stored in the body and how we can work through it. And so whether you're seated or in a comfortable lying down position, just allow yourself to notice your body where it's at. And you may by now feel profoundly relaxed, and this is great. Let's keep working with it. Noticing the expansion of the belly as you inhale, the contraction of the belly as you exhale. Become aware of both of your feet, the tops of the feet, the soles of the feet, the toes, the bottoms. Notice the sensations that are present in the feet. This is a practice of thoughts show up, let them be. Going back to the awareness of what the feet are showing us. Moving the awareness to both of the ankles. Calves, the backs of the calves against the earth if you're lying down. The shin, the sides of the calves. Becoming aware of the knees, backs of the knees, the tops of the knees. Sides of the knees. Moving the awareness to the thighs, acknowledging the longest bones in our body. Where the femur meets the pelvis, the backs of the thighs, the tops of the thighs, the sides of the thighs. Noticing our legs as a whole, right leg, the left leg. Becoming aware of the pelvis, the genitalia, the organs that are present there, the buttocks, the hips. Moving the awareness to our low back, our mid back, our upper back. The back as a whole. Noticing the abdomen, the muscles, the intestines. The liver and other organs that are present in the abdomen. Noticing the inhalation and exhalation. Belly breathing. Noticing the chest, the internal organs that are present here. The ribs, the rib cage as a whole, diaphragm. Noticing the shoulders, both the right and left hands, the tops of the hands, the backs of the hands, the fingertips, the thumbs, the wrist, the forearms, the elbows, the upper arms, both arms, the right and the left as a whole. Whatever sensations that are present without judging, without changing. The neck, the back of the neck, the front of the neck, the sides of the neck, the thyroid, the internal organs, the vessels that are present in the neck area. Moving up to the back of the head, the crown of the head, the front of the head, the eyes, eye sockets, eyeballs, the cheeks, the chin, the lips, the tongue, the ears, the head as a whole. Carrying that awareness through the whole body as a whole. Just noticing the whole body breathing. You can stay in that comfortable position. We'll end with a heart-centered meditation. Specifically, I'm going to do a loving-kindness meditation that focuses on this mantra. May we be safe. May we be happy. May we be healthy. May we live with ease. So as you continue to resonate in your body, sending that loving energy to yourself, may I be safe, may I be happy, may I be healthy, may I live with ease. Feeling into that energy that you created at your heart center. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Expanding that, radiating beautiful energy of loving kindness into our community, into our homes, into the area of Asheville and the surrounding areas, to our schools, to the restaurants and the shops, the yoga studios, the hospitals, to those areas that may be suffering. May we as a community be safe. May we as a community be happy. May we as a community be healthy. May we all live with ease. May we be safe. May we be happy. May we be healthy. May we live with ease. Expanding this awareness to our country and all of the inhabitants, the people, animals, the plants, the life that is present in this country. May we all be safe. May we all be healthy. May we all be happy. May we all live with ease. May we be safe. May we be happy. May we be healthy. May we all live with ease. And expanding this loving kind energy that you have generated from your body to this country, expanding it and radiating into this world. Even visualizing that if you were in outer space, that you could see this Earth, Mother Earth, and just envelop it with your loving light. May this world and its inhabitants be safe. May this world and its inhabitants be happy. May this world and its inhabitants be healthy. May this world and its inhabitants live with ease. May we all, as a global community, be safe. May we all, as a global community, be happy. May we all be healthy. And may we all live with ease. Bringing that awareness from the world to this country back into our hearts. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're ready, gently opening up your eyes. I think I'll end the presentation there. There are many resources that are available. One of the courses that I've done this past year that's been really helpful for me is the Happiness Course by Dr. Lori Santos. It's a 5-week course, beautiful research as far as what we perceive as happiness and where true happiness comes from. The University of San Diego Mindfulness Center has many resources as far as different types of meditations that are available, body scans that are available that you can download. The Integrative Medicine Arizona website has many resources in regards to the pandemic. And Dr. Lori Santos has a podcast about happiness during the holidays and many different podcasts in regards to how we can discover happiness and resiliency through different teachers. And there's another website called loveislouder.org that also provides numerous resources that you can check into. And so really, Here's to 2021. May it be a year full of love, laughter, and joy, and experiences. And even if they're difficult experiences, may we learn from them in ways that allows us to grow. And remember, as Rumi said, that all these emotions that we experience, they're there to clear the way and to help us grow and to honor every part of us, whether it's part that's grieving for what we have lost and for those that have that we have lost during this year, people, events, or experiences. I think we all can allow ourselves to express those parts of us in different ways, in ways that are healing for us. And so really for year that's coming up, set an intention or resolution for yourself. You know, set up goals for yourself, whether you meet them or not. It's always good to have things that we work towards and commit to discovering your higher self, whatever that may be, and let go of those things that are not serving you. I've been telling my patients, whether it's creating a ritual or ceremony for yourself, and it certainly may be different than the celebrations that we've had in the past, but creating a sacred space and ceremony to invite in new experiences for the year and see what shows up. And certainly, as my teacher would say, the face we present is the face that we receive, meaning that if we show up to this new year in a way where we're open to whatever experience that needs to show up for us, that experience will meet us there. So thank you all. I hope you're as relaxed as I am. I feel wonderful. And so I hope that you have learned some techniques that you can continue to work on to build your resiliency and grit.